Welcome to Counter Stories, programmed by people of color, for people of color, and everybody else. I'm Luz Maria Frias, Deputy Attorney General with the state of Minnesota. Any comments and insights that I share are solely my own and should not be attributed to my employer.
My name is Reverend Anthony Galloway, pastor of St. Mark AME Church in Duluth, Minnesota, and senior partner at Dendros Group.
I'm Don Eubanks, associate at Dendros Group and member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indians.
And I'm Halili, owner of the Other Media Group and Counter Stories producer.
We have a very special guest with us today, none other than our Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota, Peggy Flanagan. Lieutenant Governor, do you want to just introduce yourself?
Sure. Hey, everybody. I'm Peggy Flanagan. I'm the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Minnesota, and I am a member of the Wider Fund of Ojibwe.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us, Lieutenant Governor. We wanted to start off with a discussion about some exciting news that just came out of the legislature this past session that you had a great deal of involvement with. It is the $1.3 million investment to help teach our kindergarten through 12th grade students in Minnesota the full history of our indigenous people. Can you help us understand, first of all, how that came about? But maybe even before you broach that, what your learning experience was as a student growing up and not being exposed to these important parts of our history.
Sure. So Indigenous Education for All has been a long time coming, and we certainly have our work cut out for us. But, you know, when I was growing up, I was one of the few Native students in St. Louis Park Public Schools. My teachers didn't look like me, and certainly our history and culture and our family wasn't represented in our curriculum or lessons. And I remember, you know, hearing about Native folks, but always from the perspective of, you know, history, not that we were contemporary people. And, you know, the old, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue and, quote unquote, discovered America. And I know that that was really the experience of so many other folks. And, you know, Native people have been here in Minnesota Makoche since before Minnesota was Minnesota. And I think that our young people deserve to know the truth and the full story of the land on which they live and exist. And so, you know, the first time that I had a Native teacher, I was a sophomore at the University of Minnesota, and I walked into a classroom and I saw Dr. Brenda Child standing at the front of the classroom, and I almost fell over. Here was a teacher who looked like me in a classroom full of other Native students, and it changed everything for me. And, you know, what I want is for every student to have that experience starting even in pre-K before, you know, before they get to college, certainly that is their experience. And so, you know, what this does, the $1.3 million over the next biennium is it helps to develop curricular resources for Minnesota school districts and charter schools to access, much of which, you know, we know has been developed already in our communities. It is simply making sure that we are also making that connection. Additional state level expert support on implementing the academic standards specific to Indigenous education and improving the process for the consultation between the state and the Tribal Nations Education Committee, as well as making sure that our robust urban Indian community is also at the table as we are crafting what this will look like. And so it is important work. You know, my daughter is a third grader, and she is in St. Louis Park Public Schools, and her experience is already so much different than the one that I had. She is in a school that has many Native students, and, you know, her teacher is a teacher of color, We walked into her classroom this year and there were books everywhere that looked like the children who are in the classroom. And our young people cannot value their education unless they see their education valuing them. And so this is, it's really exciting and I'm glad we got it done. And now we have a lot of work to do to implement it and to implement it in a good way.
You know, one of the things that I loved about seeing and just I read in the Sahan Journal about it is the scope and sequence that is, as you know, in terms of what kindergartners will learn, what, you know, fifth and sixth graders will learn, what high schoolers will learn, that oftentimes when we see initiatives that try to walk down, you know, this road for representation, the first thing that comes out is all of the destruction of various marginalized communities. And here, you know, it's rolled out very differently. I've been really appreciative of seeing that will start with the connection to land and start with how folks are engaging, you know, today rather than immediately going to, I know this from the African-American side of things, everything starts with slavery. We instead of talking about all mm-hmm. of these other things that are essential at the early stages as well.
One of the questions that comes to mind, Lieutenant Governor, is in formulating this initiative, were there understandings of other states around the country that have gone down this path already? Or are we kind of in the front runner? Can you give us an idea of how we compare with respect to other states and adopting a similar type of initiative?
Sure. I think, you know, one of the states that has been a model for this is the state of Montana. And, you know, part of the reason for that, I think, is because, you know, the first Native woman elected to executive office statewide was Denise Juno as the superintendent of education. And so having her there and in that role made a difference, I think, because there were so many folks who were already working on this initiative in Montana. It has been implemented, it has been renewed and improved. And so I think that's, you know, really where it's the forefront of this movement. But I also think this work has been happening in Minnesota for a really long time. It's simply that we are now in a place where we can start to move these things forward in a way that will have a statewide impact, right? I think if you think about Minneapolis as, you know, we have Heart of the Year School and the Red Schoolhouse and the, you know, this place and space where so many educational movements really have been born. It is now just making sure that work is happening in a way where all students can experience it. And one of the things that we have heard repeatedly from teachers is just the need to have the support to actually do this work. You know, we included our new tribal state relations training for school leaders. I think that is going to matter. I want to make sure that we are removing sort of all the excuses for why this can't happen, right? It's like, we're going to give you all the tools to make sure that you can implement this. And, you know, we're also making sure that ethnic studies is also part of this package too. It's not just about our Indigenous kids. It's about, you know, all of our Black students, our students of color, our immigrant students, but also for our white students to know where they live and who is part of Minnesota and the rich history. I think we have this sense that somehow our young people can't handle the, you know, the complexity and the richness of the people that they are in community with every single day. And I think our young people are smarter than that. And we need to be able to give adults the tools to do this work.
You've been listening to Counter Stories. I'm Luz Maria Frias with crew members Anthony Galloway, Don Eubanks, and Haley Lee, and our special guest, Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. Support for this show is provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For our full conversation, please visit counterstories.com.
There have been other times on Counter Stories where I've shared my experience teaching in social work at Metropolitan State University. But every semester, I would always ask one basic question. And in the 8 years that I taught there, not one student was able to answer that question. And the question was simply, how many reservations are there in Minnesota? Mm. And in 8 years, not a single student, including the Native students, were unable to answer that question. And to me, that is the root of the issue of what you're addressing in terms of the curriculum. And, you know, I would always explain to the students that it was a failure of our education system, that here in Minnesota, we're surrounded by 11 reservations, and the average Minnesotan has no idea how many there are and even what they are.
Don, I mean, some people like don't even realize that we still there that reservations still exist.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's that,
you know,
or the fact that we don't exist. I mean,
right.
My son went to Capitol Hill. Capitol Hill is the gifted and talented school in St. Paul, and his third grade teacher sent a note home, and the note was a request for me to see if I would come in and talk to the class about American Indians. And she wrote some kind of basic questions in terms of what she wanted me to address, like what kind of habitats do Indians live in and yada, da, 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 that kind of stuff. And so I agreed and I went in and I talked to this class. And so the first question I asked the kids is what kind of structures do Indians live in? And I selected a young girl and she said houses. I said, correct. It wasn't coming from the kids. It was coming from that teacher. That's mm-hmm. what really struck me, is that even our teachers at that time didn't have a clue about who we were. And it was nowhere in the curriculum anywhere. You know, Peggy, I grew up in Minneapolis Public Schools, and my experience was the same as yours, with the exception that I was coming through during a time of after civil rights. And so there was this push to not only desegregate the schools, but I was fortunate enough to be at Minneapolis North when Minneapolis Public Schools hired Barry Blackhawk as the first Native American liaison, Indian liaison for Minneapolis Public Schools. And so I was fortunate to be with Barry Blackhawk and all the rest of the Native American students that were attending Minneapolis North. And I had him my sophomore year in high school. With him, he helped us create a group we called True American Native Students, TANS. In that class that we had with him was the first opportunity any of us had in Minneapolis Public Schools to learn more about who we were as Native Americans. So I felt very fortunate to have had that experience, but it was totally isolated. It was mm-hmm. only at Minneapolis North until we went to Minneapolis South and we started a charter there. So with the funding that you're talking about, we're talking about building this curriculum across the board for all students. That's correct, right?
That's right. That's right. And I think, you know, to your point, there are legislators who I have engaged with who don't know that there are 11 reservations in Minnesota. And as recently as when I retired from the legislature a few years ago, I had a legislator who said, "Oh, I didn't realize you were Native American. I thought you were all dead. I thought you were Jewish."
Wow.
And, you know, and I said, I was like, surprise, we're still here.
Flanagan being such a Jewish name, right?
I was going to say, yeah.
one of my best friends is Mohican. And so whenever she meets people and they ask her what, you know, where she's from, she says she's Mohican. They always say, "I thought the last of the Mohicans died."
Wow. Exactly.
Thank you, movies.
It's a surprise every time, you know, but that's the thing, is that we give this preamble Don, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Like whenever you talk about Native issues, it's sort of like Native 101 for about 15 minutes before you can get to like the actual thing that you need to talk about. So we heard over and over again from tribal leaders that this was their top priority so that in the future, people know that we're still here. They know that we exist as contemporary people. We've contributed to this state of Minnesota, and that we won't have to do that preamble because people will simply know. And once you know, then you need to actually step up and do right by people and the way that you invest in our communities and the policies that you pass. And starting with our kids is, you know, is the best way to do this work.
You've been listening to Counter Stories. I'm Luz Maria Frias with crew members Anthony Galloway, Don Eubanks, and Hilly Lee, and our special guest, Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. Support for this show is provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For our full conversation, please visit counterstories.com.
I love that you spoke to the need for all for everybody to need to know this, especially comparatively across, you know, to Don's point, right? Comparative racial analysis, being able to compare the experiences and see some of the systemic patterns, right? This is part of laying the groundwork for being able to do that in a much better way. So I really commend you on that. And you know, it's just my racialized trauma coming full forward. I feel it in my chest and in my stomach at the moment, just because Resma is teaching well. That as you push forward this thing, my mind immediately goes to the resistance that will be felt in school districts and in places around who see anything that teaches or that surfaces any of the emotional and traumatic history of white folks. Because, you know, I know this is about educating folks around the experience of Native folks, but because of the trauma of white supremacy and our violent history, that is going to bring forward having to face the realities of the participation of white folks in the attempted genocide of Native peoples. I mean, that is going to be come forward even in the appreciative approach that this is taking. And I'm just curious, what are some of the conversations, the experiences that you are facing in even, you know, bringing this across the finish line?
Well, I think one of the, you know, and that's all real. And I think we need to name it and know it. But I also think so much of that has to do with adults. It's not the reality for a lot of our young people who are ready, who are hungry to learn about the full, rich, complicated history of this state and of our country. But, you know, the reality is we are in a moment where in the state of Minnesota, we were told very clearly by the Senate majority that anything that contained the word equity would not pass. Now, here's the deal. I can get real creative and I can come up with a bunch of different adjectives to use to figure out how we move these things forward. But the way that I think we do this work is, you know, mostly just trying to have real conversations with people. And we are in this climate and this moment where folks are talking past each other and not with each other. And I think that's one of the reasons why we were able to get some of the things done in the end of session negotiations is because we were able to have conversations with folks about, you know, what was needed and necessary, but we're certainly not all the way there yet. And my job is to listen to those concerns, to take a deep breath, and to then respond, because Anthony, what you're speaking to about, you know, that anxiety or that feeling in your stomach, you know, that is the reality for all of us who function in systems that were not made by us or for us every day. And, you know, that is, you know, there are folks who have stories about, you know, who they think I am or what they think I'm about. And all I can do is just keep coming to the table, saying that I know in my heart and in my guts, and frankly, with the data, if that's what you need, that this is absolutely the best thing, right, for all kids. For kids of color, people keep talking about wanting to close those gaps. Having curriculum that looks like the kids in your classroom and teachers who look like them too, we know that it works. And so I just want to give people solutions to tackle those problems that they say they care so much about.
From the conversation we've been having, this is really educating the educators as well as the pre-K through 12 kids in the state. Because as our listeners can hear, a lot of adults don't even know all this. And having somebody with a lot of teachers in my family, you know, it's hard for them to be able to do the curriculum, add to the curriculum, you know, quote unquote, critical race theory, although that, you know, that's a whole nother conversation, but just adding things that are not already in the books while trying to teach 30 kids, while, you know, trying to come home and be with your own family, like that's a lot on educators. And so being able to provide these sorts of just data and facts, just the facts to these educators is not just educating the kids, it's educating everybody.
Absolutely. Lieutenant Governor, I was going to just really thank you about centering this instruction. It's really for the kids. In addition to what Halee is just saying, in terms of the impact, right? And having this false argument that is just perpetuating itself in adult circles that this is too much for the kids to handle or it's going to confuse them. We know that children, and you as a mother of an eight-year-old, and you know, we have Anthony who's got young children as well, children are naturally inquisitive. They are asking questions all the time. And as they continue to ask those questions and see the dissonance on what they're living in the moment right now, which is a moment of racial reckoning, this would actually enable them to be the critical thinkers we want them to be analytical when they're speaking and when they're thinking about things, right? And not to just be subjected to rote memory. Can you speak a little bit more about how, if you've had some interaction with some of these experts that speak to how this will actually help our children develop into stronger thinkers and analytical thinkers, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, someone, and those of you who have kiddos and are around young people, you know that they are incredibly curious. And the conversations that we are having at home right now, she challenges me every single day. And we have, frankly, the most real conversations that I have right now are with, you know, my eight-year-old who is asking tough questions about why things are the way they are. Asking about why some children run towards the police and some run away from the police. Asking questions about, you know, why things are the way they are with regards to, you know, our own family and, you know, our own community. And so I don't have all the answers, but I do my best. And I know that our young people are ready, you know, to have us really answer those questions. Because what's so hard and what I hear over and over from people is that, you know, once they get to college, if they get to college, that suddenly they're told that everything that they learned coming up is not true, or that there is a additional perspective that they have just been denied. And so I think our kids are ready for it. And when we talk about, you know, it's not just about our history of Minnesota, and it is about science. and math and Indigenous perspectives and perspectives in those areas too that make a difference. Heck, it's even the entire structure of our United States government that was based on the Iroquois Confederacy, which we don't talk about, right? Like where those ideas came from, you know, and our young people, again, are ready for that. And I want my daughter to be able to, you know, look at a concept in science, to be able to look at the data, but also to know that the observation, right, the questioning, the, you know, Indigenous knowledge that we have about science is also incredibly valuable and gives a more full picture about the things that she is learning about and that other children in her classroom are learning about every single day. And, you know, memorization, those things are, you know, they have their place. But I want to make sure that our young people are ready for this full, rich, beautiful world when they walk out of, you know, their school in the 12th grade and have lots of options because they have fallen in love with learning because it actually meets their needs and what they're curious about.
A little bit on that, Lieutenant Governors, and I've said this on the show before, I get really mad when I learn these things now as an adult that I didn't learn these when I was in school, right? I went to a school called Cherokee, and we learned like almost nothing about Indigenous history. I didn't even know what Cherokee meant. It was just the school that was close to our house, you know? And so when we say that the kids are ready, they're not only ready now, but you want them to look back in 10, 15 years and be like, I learned that in school. I know that. Right. Because, you know, at least for me, when we were growing up, my parents were always telling us like education is the most important thing. And so I believed everything my teachers told me. I believed everything that the textbooks had. I thought those were all facts. Those were, you know, that's exactly how things had happened in this country. And as I grew up and out of high school and started learning the real history, I got mad. And I mean, my co-host here will tell you I'm a mad person anyway, but it's like added, this is like fuel, you know, to that madness.
This has been Counter Stories, programmed by people of color, for people of color, and everybody else. I'm Luz Maria Frias, Deputy Attorney General with the State of Minnesota. Any comments and insights I've shared are strictly my own and should not be attributed to my employer.
I'm Reverend Anthony Galloway, pastor of St. Mark AME Church in Duluth, Minnesota, and senior partner of Dendros Group.
I'm Don Eubanks, associate of Dendros Group and member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indians.
And I'm Halee Lee, owner of the Other Media Group and Counter Stories producer.
Thanks so much for having me, everybody. I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan and a member of the White Earth Band of Ojibwe. Chimigwech.
Thank you for joining us, and thank you for all the good work that you're doing for the great state of Minnesota. This program is a co-production of the Counter Stories crew, the Other Media Group, and AMPRS, Diverse Radio for Minnesota's Communities, with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.